Ill-fitting shoes are a pain. By Florence M. White. I dragged my aching feet over the threshold of my orthopedist's office. "Operate," I begged. "I can't live with these feet any longer. And I can't find a pair of shoes to fit them," I groaned. "Besides," I added sardonically, "they've spoiled my good looks and my fine temperament." "Go barefoot," the doctor smiled. "We weren't meant to wear shoes, you know." He bent down and looked sympathetically at my bulging bunions, then shook his head. "Try to live with them," he advised. "They aren't any worse than before, and surgery on bunions isn't a sure thing." "I'll take an unsure thing," I retorted. The doctor tried again. "You'll be out of commission for several months." "I'll have more time to write," I countered. "It'll be a year before you feel that your feet are your own," he warned. At that, I succumbed. My house was mortgaged, as was my car, my furniture, and my color television set. I had to have something I could call my own, at least for another year. "Okay," I reluctantly agreed. "You win, doctor." At this moment of my life, it seemed wisest to abide by my doctor's advice. I would have to seek relief in other directions. I remembered the huge bag of shoes I had brought with me. It was in the waiting room. I went to get it, then emptied it over the doctor's expensively carpeted floor. "Please look at these shoes and tell me what's wrong with them." The doctor and I gazed down upon a small fortune in shoes, high heels and low, open toes and closed, thick soles and thin, step-ins and slingbacks. "Why can't I wear them?" I asked, desperation in my voice. "They're all my size." The doctor looked them over. "They're bad," he pronounced, "badly constructed." "Why?" I asked, puzzled. "Because most shoe manufacturers make shoes to fit their fancies, not women's feet," he answered. "There must be some shoes that are properly made," I said. He nodded. "What do you suggest?" I asked, with a glimmer of hope in my heart. The doctor looked at me as if to say, "You know better than to ask." "Yes, I knew. Of course I knew. The orthopedic kind, made only for comfort and not for looks, just as those on the floor were made only for looks and not for comfort." The doctor mentioned several names of manufacturers who make comfortable shoes. I was familiar with some of them, but had rejected common sense in favor of vanity. "Why can't they make shoes that are both good-looking and comfortable?" I wanted to know. Since the next patient hadn't arrived, the doctor took time to visit with me, something a bit unusual nowadays. I learned that this good man was an activist, a doctor who took time out of a busy practice to appear before the state legislature and plead the cause of better shoes and healthier feet. In our state, he had told an august body of senators and assemblymen, the men who shoe the feet of the horses that run on our racetracks must be licensed. But the men who manufacture shoes for the people of our state are free to disregard rules of common sense and good health. My shoes made no sense whatsoever and were ruining my feet. The doctor continued, in this country, women waste millions of dollars on shoes they can't wear. Then they must spend more millions for doctors and for painkillers, for aching corns, calluses, and bunions, for headaches and backaches, all caused by ill-fitting shoes. He stopped, then looked at me with a new twinkle in his eyes. Do you know what? He asked. No, what? I queried. If you and the millions of women in America would stop buying shoes for 1 month, just 1 month, you would have the shoe manufacturers at your feet. We both laughed. There was a buzz, and his secretary announced the arrival of the next pair of aching feet. I thanked the doctor, swept my shoes into my bag, and left. As I drove home, I thought about the conversation I had just had with my orthopedist. Here is the cause of the century. Are horses more important than women? Must we suffer unnecessary mental and physical pain because of ill-fitting shoes? Must we waste our hard-earned money on shoes that we must discard? We have freed ourselves from tight-fitting corsets. we must now free ourselves from ill-fitting shoes. If we are to stand proudly beside our brothers, we must have good shoes to stand in. If we are to do the world's work, we must have good shoes to work in. If we are to enjoy life, we must have good shoes to play in. If we want our heads to be in the right place, our feet had better be in the right shoes. I say to you earnestly and passionately, ladies, join ranks. You have nothing to lose but your corns, your calluses, and your bunions.